Today is June 18th, 1991. The time is 2:36. This afternoon we are going to interview Mr. Joseph Novak. Mr. Novak has been a resident of Madison Heights since the early 1940s. Mr. Novak was part of the group responsible for planning and building the homes in the cooperative or Frank Lloyd Wright subdivision. Today we will discuss the development of this fascinating historical area. Mr. Novak, please state your full name and present address for this taped interview and the names of your wife and children.
All right, my name is Joseph A. Novak. I live on 670 Lloyd in Madison Heights. My wife's name is Mary. My son is named Joe Jr. and my son Gary and my son Albert. But they live in Flint. They don't live here in Detroit, in Madison Heights anymore. Okay. Now, the original start of the co-op housing was in Parkside Apartments, which was a government-owned housing.
In Detroit?
In Detroit.
Uh-huh. What streets?
On Warren.
Okay.
Warren Avenue. The meetings were held in the basement of these buildings, and at one time we had an average of 200 people that were would come to these meetings.
They were all from the co-op housing?
Yes.
Okay.
The way it started was that the government wanted to sell the Parkside Apartments at one time, and we figured that would be nice if we bought it, the group, you know, the people that lived in it.
Okay.
They would buy it, and then they could run it as they seemed fit.
Kind of like an early condominium or townhouse deal.
Yes.
If you would have bought it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then it just didn't go that way. The people didn't have the money. So then they start discussing going out of Detroit and buying some land and building their own houses.
Now, if money was tight, how would you get the money to buy?
Well, the government, you couldn't have dealt with the government, you know. You'd say you want, they needed $500,000. Well, we probably could have raised 750 people, certainly could raise, you know, so many thousands of dollars,
okay,
which was a good idea. I don't think that at that time that the government wanted really too much, you know, for a down payment on the
But if you looked for your own site, did you have money for your own site to look for?
Well, we had some. We all that lived there, we were working, you know.
Okay.
So we had.
Okay.
We could have got it, even if we didn't have it at home. We could have borrowed money, you know, for that case.
Okay.
So then, it didn't go through. Nobody was satisfied that they wanted to do that, so we decided to go out and buy land, go out of Detroit, go into the farmland,
okay,
which we did. And we went, first of all, there was a piece of land right where the Hazel Park racetrack. There was so many acres in there, and We tramped that through them woods down there. We looked all over there, but it seemed like there wasn't enough land. There was only, 50 some acres in there. So we gave that up. Then we came out here to 15 Mile Road. And we met a farmer. We were out there talking to him, and he thought we were a bunch of shanksters. He was going to get his gun and shoot us. He says, you guys better get out of here. I'm going to blow you off the map. So we left. He wasn't interested. But he had the land for sale. But
was that in Oakland County?
Yeah, it was just 15 Mile Road here.
Okay.
In DeQuinder.
Okay.
So then somehow they discovered this piece of land here that this farmer wanted to sell this on 13 here. So then that's what really happened was, but the land was, I didn't buy the land. I just worked with the guy that had the money. In other words, there was a Mr. Smith. He worked for General Motors. Yeah, he was supervision there, and they had quite a bit of money.
So he came up with the money to buy the original piece.
He was a real cooperator. Him and his wife was crippled, and he really wanted to buy this land, and there was so many, there was a group of us that was really with him, you know, interested. It's just we couldn't afford, but we explained to him that we'll eventually pay him back our share if he bought it first, you know, if he gave the money.
So can you give me some names of the original group besides yourself?
Well, there was and Mr. Ostreicher and Mr. Smith. Oh, and there was I can't think of the other names. There was a milkman. No, I can't think of the other names. Anyhow.
Did you have to set up a board or something to govern this, or a group?
Yeah, we met and we discussed a president, you know, having a president and vice president and stuff like that. And then we went into the bylaws and made the bylaws and all that stuff.
Do you remember who the first president was by any chance of the group?
John Brzezinski.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was the first president. Yeah. And, all right, so then, buying the land, all right. So we bought the land here in Madison Heights. All right.
Okay.
Then we surveyed the land.
That was a job, wasn't it?
That was a big job, yeah. That was pulling 100-foot tape through all them woods and sort of driving.
How many acres was it?
120.
120, and you had to survey that whole thing.
Yeah, we surveyed the whole thing, yes.
There were no roads through there, right?
No.
Nothing.
There were no roads. It was just the woods, you know. But we had to lay out the 120 acres. And then after we laid it out, then we sent the layout to Frank Lloyd Wright, which he in turn...
Design houses
for each one.
Did you plan for each person to have 1 acre? Is that the way you planned? Oh, I see. Okay.
Everybody had 1 acre.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What did you guys do about roads?
Well, I just explained to you. I and this guy said we bought this tractor, this John Deere.
Okay.
And it was one of them cranky type with a flywheel. You had to pour a little gasoline in the little jet in there, and then you'd crank it and start, and then switch it over to fuel on oil, and it would run on that. And that thing was a powerful tractor.
Okay.
The big spikes, you could drop it in a ditch and it would crawl out. It's a powerful tractor.
You got this from where?
We bought it, I think, off of this guy that owned this sawmill out here on John R.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure because we bought this tongue and groove machine
and the tractor
ran off a John Deere tractor. I'm pretty sure that we did. And
you told me something about making ditches. You used the tractor to make ditches, right?
Yeah, we had this thing looked like a plow. It was a and we hooked the John Deere onto the chain, and then I sat in the back of this and controlled it. And it would push the dirt, it would start in the center and then push it one way and then keep going around in a circle and finally then go the opposite way and push it the other way, and finally you got your road in after a mile of road.
Who drove the tractor while you did that? Do you remember?
This guy, Civic, drove the tractor.
Okay.
And I was on the back of the... it was like a plow.
Okay.
It was a special made for that type of building of roads.
Okay, and now we got you where you sent the plans to the layout of the land to Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah. Well, all right, building roads. After discussing, housing, building houses. Everybody wanted to, build shacks and stuff. That didn't work. So then this Smith, he was a friend of this people that built the that Frank Lloyd Wright built the house in Birmingham. Name is Aldridge or something like that. And anyhow, the people that owned the
house in Birmingham.
House in Birmingham made connections with Frank Lloyd Wright, with Smith, and that started the machinery working. So then Frank Lloyd Wright was contacted, and then when he came to Detroit,
okay,
he was interested very much so in the he wanted to know how much land we had and everything, and that was just up. That's right, this Broad Acres deal that was discussed. That's I recall him talking about that, what he really wanted to do. He never did succeed in that. But
when he came here, there was nothing here at the co-op. Where did he stay?
He stayed down there at the
Parkside.
No.
Okay.
On East Grand Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
At the co-op house.
Okay.
But he had several fellows with him.
But he did come out here to look at the land.
Yes, they came out here. I walked with him. We parked on 13, then he came out of the car, and we walked up the road here, and then up towards the left, where the original house was supposed to have been built.
Did he pick out the spot for the original house?
Yeah.
He said,
there's a good spot right there. But we couldn't figure out, that was lowland there. See, we couldn't figure out how he could build a house in the area where there's water, water setting and stuff like that. But the catch was large drains.
I see.
He put in a lot of sewers alongside the house. It would drain.
Because he had quite an overhang. He had quite an overhang on those houses.
Yes, 5 foot overhang on each 5 foot overhang
all the way around.
Yeah, all the way around.
So that would direct the water to the drains, right?
Well, not only that, but the water that from the ground, would. You can't have it seeping into the PZ walls because it would fall apart. That had to be dry.
Now, when you say PZ, let's talk a little bit about what exactly was that?
Well, it was 70% sand and 30% clay.
Okay.
And if you looked at the sand, if you look at it through a microscope, you see it has little legs, like sort of little things that bind together. Well, anyhow, that was explained. You would ram this earth, in the wall. You would ram that down till your rammer bounced off. Then you put a couple of feet more, shovel a couple more feet in there, and then spread it out, and then start ramming again. But that drive you crazy. It took hours and hours.
You even had to build your own forms, didn't you?
Yes. The tongue and groove machine. That's what I told you.
That's what you use that tongue and groove machine for, to build those forms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the tongue and groove, and then there was rods went through that held the
forms together.
Forms together.
Okay.
Steel rods, and they were molded in.
This was a process. This was a big job just getting this thing ready to put together.
Right. And of course, the footing was cement. You said that we built the footing, and it just was even with the ground. And then the forms sat on that.
He never planned for basements or anything.
No. He didn't plan any basements. He didn't plan floor was ground.
There was dirt floor?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Dirt floor.
Because he was basically, he wanted these things to be a lot of room, inexpensive. That was the idea,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's why for
1250 dollars,
I don't know how you can build a house that big. But I would like to show you the house if I could find that book. Well, anyhow.
So you guys started the work yourself on the house, right? You didn't contract it out. You were working on it yourselves?
We were working. I was working on it, and another guy, a couple other guys were working on it. But I also was working at the time at Packard Motor Car Company for the war building. I had a high classified job. The connecting rod bolts, the pistons, the travel.
Yeah.
Well, these bolts were that held the bearing up against the
piston,
the connecting rod. You know.
Okay.
There was five dimensions on there, step down dimensions, and that had to be precision. When you cut your wheel, it was a centerless grinding machine that I ran, and this diamond would cut this wheel into this different steps, and each step had a dimension. You use micrometers on there. Each one was so many thousands. Well, that's probably saved me from going, because I was up next to go to the service, going to the service.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow,
that isn't what they call a gear grinder, is it?
No,
because that's what my grandfather did at Lincoln.
No,
he was a gear grinder.
It's a centerless grinder. You have a form on top of this thing travels back and forth, and your diamond is down underneath cutting the wheel.
Okay.
You got a 6-inch wide wheel. See. All right, and then you have a hydraulic lever. You push this lever, and this diamond goes over that stone. And then, if there's a contour in it, it'll drop down and cut that stone out, and then go to the next one, and then cut it out like that. That's the way a centerless grinder works.
So, with your skill, you couldn't get off of work much.
No, I took an hour off. Something happened to my kid. I don't know. He got sick or something. They come after you. You had to work. You had to be there.
This was during the war.
Yeah,
during the war.
During the war. Yeah. We were making that Mustang for
the plane. Oh, fighter plane.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mustang.
So you had somebody working out of here while you were there working.
Well, we come out after work. Out here. And then Saturday, we were working Sundays, and we done a lot of work Sundays. They worked 6 days a week at the factory, and then Sundays you had a free day, so you came out and worked out here. But if I can't recall whether we were building the PZ house after the war.
You mentioned something to me about you started it, but you couldn't finish it because of the war. You couldn't get carpenters
to work out because of the war. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we couldn't get any labor because no more than we hired somebody to help us. The Army was after. That's the same way with this Ferry Seed fella. He He was upstairs there, and one night a couple of big detectives come and hauled him out of there.
You're talking about upstairs now. Let's talk about this. Okay, now you had a place to stay out here, didn't you? Even though there was nothing else around, there was what, a farmhouse out on this piece of land?
Yeah, but there's people already living in it.
The ones that own the land, or just somebody?
Yeah, no, people that were with us.
Okay.
Part of our group.
Part of your co-op group.
There were three groups, actually, that changed hands.
Okay.
The first group, now at this Brzezinski house,
or that picture of that house there.
Okay, the one in the newspaper, yeah.
Yeah, in the basement, on one of the walls, we buried a glass filled with the name, the first original group.
Okay, that's at 675 Wright.
Wright Avenue.
Okay.
And
kind of like a time capsule.
Yeah, it's in there. Not, it's still in there.
No kidding.
But how we're going to get to it, I don't know. It's not if he would let us dig it out, if we could get to it was a dumb thing to do, but anyhow, that's what they wanted to do. They that was the original group was altogether different than the second group and the third group.
You were part of the original group?
Yes.
Okay.
I was the one that on the Frank Lloyd Wright, the first group.
Okay.
The Smiths, and the Ostrikers,
and Nanniga, Roth,
a guy by the name of Roth.
Okay.
Nanniga was not. He came in a little bit later, but he was original. He used to meet with us. He used to attend our meetings in Parkside down the basement there.
Okay.
Yeah. But somehow, when the war came on, he had to leave someplace. He went away, and then when he came back, we already had been working on the Wright House, and then after he came back, he lived in the farm. He fixed up a couple of rooms, and him and his wife lived in there.
Now, well, you were talking about a Mr. Ferry. He was from the Ferry Seed Company, the son of the guy that owned Ferry Seed Company.
Yeah.
He stayed in that farmhouse on your land.
He was the designer. He was going to design the
furniture
for the Frank Lloyd Wright House.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he ever design any?
No, because the Army got a hold of him and they hauled him off. They sent him down to Texas. He was a college guy, so they made a pilot out of him. He had to go, you know.
Okay, so we got the house, you got a footing put in, you got the walls put up.
We didn't complete the walls.
You started them.
We started the walls. Well, we did
a shed or something.
One wall on each side, and then we put a roof on that part. That was the what Frank Lloyd called the sunken garden or fruit cellar is what he really called it.
Okay.
That was the tail end of the house, you know. Then from the fruit cellar was like here, and then the open space was the driveway for your car to go. Went underneath the candle-levered roof, and then it attached to the whole house. You know?
I see. Okay. This fruit thing was like an outbuilding. There was no heat or anything in there.
No.
That was like for keeping potatoes and onions and apples.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. you came out of the house through a door, and then you walked through the area where you parked your car, you know, like it was under overhang. You see these places where they have overhang.
Breezeway or something like that. Yeah.
And then you opened the door and went into the fruit cellar. That was separate, you know.
So that's really all you got to build was that fruit cellar part.
Yeah, we built that part, and then we put the roof on that. And it just didn't jive because too much cost. Well, we rented an air hammer, and we ran the with the air hammer. That's how we got going faster with the air hammer. You had a compressor. You pull the compressor up next to the building, and then you push this button, and this thing would ram the air.
You must have got better compaction with that.
Yeah, well, it worked a whole lot better.
The whole theory of this stuff was, if this PZA material stood long enough, it would dry out, wouldn't it? It would petrify.
Yeah, that's it.
And turn almost like cement.
Like a stone, yeah, it would get hard. Huh?
You said it was what, 70% clay and 30% sand?
Yes. No, 30%. 30%. No, wait a minute. It's 70% sand and 30% clay. You have to have more sand than clay, because the sand is what when you ram the sand, it's the one that ties itself together.
See? Oh, okay. Because you were saying sand has like little angles,
little grabbers and stuff. That
when you ram it, that's what makes the PZ bind. And the clay in between is what holds it together.
Now, your walls, they didn't actually get a chance to get fully covered, did they? They were open to the elements.
The walls didn't... We put a roof on it, yeah. There was a roof on it, but then there was a lot of good lumber in the roof, so the guys that were... this John Brzezinski was building his house, so he bought the lumber for his house.
Off the roof
off
of the
roof.
Off the roof of your model.
Yeah.
So that uncovered the walls.
That uncovered the walls, and then the kids started jumping all over, and it didn't take long to bring
the elements out. Got to it.
Yeah. The rain, the elements.
You said this house looked like it came out of the ground. Can you describe the way it was supposed to look?
Yeah, that's the way it, as you came in from 13 Mile Road, and you looked at it, and as you approached it, it looked like it was rising, you know, like it's just something that was beautiful about it that it's hard to describe.
In addition, in addition to having walls, you actually had dirt pushed up against the sides of the house, didn't you? It was like a slope.
Yeah, but that came later. First your walls had to be built.
Yeah.
And then the finish of the house off, yeah, the dirt came right up almost the window line. He had small windows at the top where the roof came over the top. The windows were right underneath the roof.
Okay.
And they were a row of windows. They weren't too big. They were smaller windows. But he had rows of them around the house. And then the roof sat on that. And the roof cantilevered 5 feet out. It's like this here, so you'd come out.
Like a 5 foot overhang all the way around.
Yeah, 5 foot overhang all the way around.
And if it would have gotten finished, that would have kept the elements away from the walls too.
Yeah, well that's the idea. That's what kept it from disintegrating, because even if the storm would come at an angle, it wouldn't have hurt it. But there's things that you could use on it. If it was soft, you could use linseed oil. You could paint it.
To keep the elements for a time.
Yeah, keep the moist out of it.
Okay. Now, you said something about the inside. When you did the inside, you said it had a dirt floor.
Everything was dirt.
Now, how'd you get closets? It was interesting to me how you got closets.
Forms.
They were the forms that you used to make the walls.
Yeah, you set the forms up, and then you ram the earth around the forms.
Now, this would have been a really large house, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Square foot was what?
Oh, I can't recall the exact... that's why I wanted to... If I could find that book, you would look at that and you'd see... I can't...
Because I know some of them over there are fairly large houses.
Yeah, some of them are fairly large, but...
But they're not all Frank Lloyd Wright.
No. After Wright, then came these two young architects from Chicago, that these solar houses. And you've seen these, if you were out there, there's three long houses. They're real long.
With
all glass fronts.
One side all glass, yeah.
Yeah. Well, those are the solar houses. They were designed by a couple of young architects from Chicago. But that's getting away from Wright.
Now,
anyhow,
we didn't talk about water yet. You had to have water for this, right?
Yeah. The first well, where we found this water, we had a pump, a gasoline pump. that pumped the water. It had a big flywheel and had an arm, and it brought the water up.
From where? The well?
Yeah.
You dug a well, didn't you?
Well, the first thing was water. You know?
Yeah.
You couldn't do it without water.
Yeah.
So we found this spot, and we had the well man put in this.
How'd you find it?
Well, I tell you, the guy, this John, this guy here is pictured.
Brzezinski.
He died, yeah. We were walking around the fields there, and he thought that something pulled his...
Dowsing stick?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And he said, right here, we're going to put the well in. I says, you think so? I said, that looks like you're too good of a spot. He says, yep, right here. And sure enough, we got the well man. And hey, and he went down 147 feet. He had an 11-foot vein. He hit the first rock, and he went through that rock, and then it dropped down 11 feet to hit the other rock, and that's where the 11-foot vein of water is, in that gravel. And
he didn't think there was enough water there, did he?
Yeah, and then after we went to buy a pump, we bought this pump that goes down in the bottom of the well and pushes the water up. After they put the casing in and everything, this guy came out and said that he wasn't sure that that's a good place for, that's a good well. But he said, what I'll do, I'll put this pump in there, and if it don't pump enough water out for you guys, then I'll take the pump back. And he put the pump in there, and he started up, and he flooded the whole acre in there with water. And he said, man, you got a good well. He says, he let the pump right in there.
And it's still running today, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that way, that's the second pump. Second or, I think it's the second pump. But anyhow, that's... That's one of the things that finding the water, yeah, right.
How about your building? How did you work on the houses? Okay, now we got the Frank Lloyd Wright house, we got that out of the way. People found their own plans. You still had this idea you wanted to be a co-op, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of helped each other on your houses?
Yes. We had an electrician. I was block man doing the block work. Fred Hiller was the plumber.
Okay. Who's the electrician, do you remember?
His name was...
If not, it's okay.
He's not here anymore. Holster. His name was Holster.
Okay.
He lives up north someplace. Anyhow, I would lay out... If on the acre of his land, so he say, here's where he wants to put his footing. So I would lay out his whole footing for him, put his block, put the lay the pad down to the bottom with cement, and then start the blocks there, three or four high, how high he wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put all that in and get it ready for him to start his house. In the meantime, he would come and do some of my electricity. He'd wire a couple of rooms, and I, in turn, you know, was doing his...
you would be sharing,
yes,
your talents.
Yes, block where I'd done his... I laid out his whole area of the site, just showed me the plans, and I laid out the whole... footing, you know, you have to have a footing and you have to have blocks to set the house up.
Did all the people that were there get involved in helping, or was it just a few?
No, you couldn't. There were too many of us trying to do everything at one time, and that was no good. You couldn't, you just couldn't do that. Brown was building his house, John Brzezinski was building. This is our first house that I done most.
The Brzezinski house.
Yeah, I done most of the block work and the thing. But then he had it done with the stone over top of that. There's some outfit wired that to put that on there for
me. Okay.
But everything else was blocked, and even the floors were cement. We built platforms and laid the block across the platforms, and then poured the concrete in between the blocks
for the floors.
Yes. And then when you went down the basement, knocked all that forms off of there, that floor just stood there because the cement in between the blocks held the floor.
So some of these did have basements in them, the houses?
Yeah, this one did.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and Nanniga's house had a basement. And I think where Dale lives, I think that house there had a...
Bill Dale.
Yeah, Bill yeah. Dale. He has a basement in there. And that's about all.
There aren't many of them, I know.
No, because the water line was too high, not too good. Well, anyhow, that's the...
We got the water, we got the roads. Something else for the co-op, you talked about you owned a store and a gas station?
In Detroit.
No kidding.
Yeah.
When you were out here, you owned a gas station and a
yeah.
store there. Was it successful?
Well, they couldn't make it go. No. There weren't enough people in Detroit that was interested in the co-op and what members we had at Parkside. They just weren't buying. The competition was too great. In other words, we had to sell a little higher than the A&Ps and Kroger's and all them other stores, so they sold it to some private guy. And the gas station was, I attended the gas station 1 week, and next week somebody else that was a member attended, and I don't know, the money, you'd give the money to somebody, and he would run the station for the next week, and what he done with the money, I don't know. They were supposed to hand it over to
the group.
Yeah, that we had a fellow that was in charge of that.
You really would
have to pay the bills, you know.
You would have been completely self-sufficient because you grew your own food here, right?
At out here in Madison.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you sold it out there in a store.
No,
okay.
No. This is a regular store, just like an A&P or Kroger or anything.
Oh, okay.
It was a regular store. It was right on Mac and Warren Warren, right there by Briggs. Briggs Factory there. They built Plymouth Bodies there.
Okay.
It was a regular store. You went in there and you had all stuff.
Canned goods and
canned goods.
Oh, okay.
And vegetables, anything you wanted. But the thing was the help. See, we were supposed to have been, each family was supposed to give so much service to it. In other words, you would take care of it 1 week, and then somebody else was supposed to take care of it next week. That's what the co-op was about. And the gas station the same way.
But they weren't doing it.
Well, they I think that it just wasn't run right, and the money that they made, they put it back into the gas, you know, buying the gasoline and the tires. We sold tires. And you didn't have strangers coming. You just had, sometimes you would get a stranger. It was mostly were members
mm-hmm.
that belonged to this store and gas station.
So you could never really get big enough to get the thing rolling.
Evidently you would have, yes. If
you would have had more outsiders yeah. coming in.
Well, you needed the outside for the business, but the idea was coming out here, and that's what they were supposed to build, is a big gas station, a big repair shop for automobiles, and big we had big things in mind, you know,
for this place.
Yes.
Oh, you did want to have one over here.
Yes.
In this
Okay. They had plans. They had plans. I think that Wright had something laid out for that, but I didn't see those. But anyhow, they talked to him about it, and he they would have had. They wanted a big garage. They had guys that could do the mechanic works, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There were some guys interested in really in mechanics, and the big store. They figured, well, but you got to figure 120 families, you know, they support the
store. And a gas station,
yeah,
sure. When you laid your places out, you laid them what, back to back, so that you could go plow from one end to the other. You told me something about the way you laid the property lines out. They were like right in a line so that you could plow from one end to the other without...
Well, yes. The streets... Now, I live on Lloyd, and Wright Street is the first street you come into. All right, John's house is
John Brzezinski.
There. And I... On Lloyd, and my house faces Lloyd. But between my house and John's house... There's almost 2 acres. The idea they talked about doing it that way was in case of a severe depression or something and you wanted to grow gardens, you'd plow the rows of all these acres like that, see, all the way down. Well, you'd have, say, 30 acres to the, but from one end to the other.
All the way in the
well,
line.
Yeah, you could plow that all up as a whole group, and then we'd work and put gardens in and stuff like that, and it's self-support.
Okay, that's another part of the co-op then.
Yeah, that was some of the dreams that they had. you can't get them to do a lot of stuff. They talked about it. In fact, we had a school teacher that was name was Zawoski. All he'd done was talk big, but he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything. He never done any heavy work.
A dreamer.
And this required a lot of heavy work if you wanted a thing like that to succeed.
Like my grandfather would say, he was a superintendent.
Yeah.
Supervisor.
Too many supervisors. not enough workers. That's what happened to the co-op. We had a lawyer that used to come out and sit with us till 4 o'clock in the morning talking housing. But he never dirtied his hands. He just talked about. But he learned a lot. And what he'd done was, he went out there to Warren and bought. Lots of tracts of land, and he built, and he had unfinished houses built on it. And then the people bought the unfinished houses, finished them themselves, and he made a fortune. He made millions of dollars.
Now, this idea that you had, this co-op idea, this was, you had this before you got into Frank Lloyd Wright philosophy, or did you know that he did this, that's why you went
no,
to see him?
No, it was before.
Okay.
Before I ever knew about Frank Lloyd Wright, the thing was going out into buying the land and then going out and building your own homes. That
okay.
That was our...
And then you heard about this person who agreed with that philosophy.
Then when this Smith... This Mr. Smith that I tell you was he was supervisor at General Motors in Detroit, someplace. He was a friend of this Affleck from Birmingham, and this Affleck had this Wright house built there, and somehow they liked that house so much, you know, they Smith.
You met Wright, didn't you? You met Mr. Wright.
Yes.
Yeah. You took him a block.
Yeah.
Right?
I took him this TJ block. Brown and I carried it. They got those wooden stairs down there. There's about 12 steps you had to go up. They were upstairs, and they had him up in the part on the upper floor, and I think they slept, they had, it was like a basement, and then the first floor, they had the kitchen. These, Fred Thornton and them, they were all cooperators. They rented this place, I guess, and anyhow, like I said, we took that block and dropped, carried it up those stairs and took it up. But he had a following. He had several men that always traveled with him, and I can't recall. And if I search those books, I probably would find, you know, who some of them guys were. But the fellow that he sent out here, Aaron Green, for the PJ House, he was the one that had the most knowledge on building a PJ House.
So he's the one that actually...
Yeah, he's the one that got us started what to do and how to...
Was he a young guy?
Yeah.
One of his students.
But he was supposed to have been the more type of architect that Wright liked him and sent him out here to work with us. And another thing, he lived in the farmhouse and we fed him.
You were feeding everybody in that farmhouse.
Every family. Well, one day you would make something and then the next day somebody else would, and somebody else, then the following day. That's the way they lived. But they weren't paying for nothing because the farmhouse was free. You know, we built, finished. The farmhouse was in pretty good shape. The only thing was some of the walls were banged up.
How about Wright? How did Wright get paid? Did you have to pay him for the work that Mr. Green did?
Yeah. First of all, he made this first design of the house, and I think the first bill was $600 and some. Oh yeah, he was. He had to pay. He would, but if you didn't build the house, he wanted all his blueprints back. Everything had to go back to him.
Oh, okay.
He didn't want nobody copying.
What did you think of him?
Well, I didn't. I don't.
Just at first meeting him, was he a personable guy? Was
well,
he?
Well, he didn't talk too much. He. They say he done a lot of talking. In other words, no. These architects didn't agree with his type of construction, like Johnson Wax Building. He built these pillars out of glass,
mm-hmm.
and they mushroomed out, and all the architects met in Chicago, and they told him that they didn't like the glass pillar that wouldn't carry no roof or carry the ceiling or anything. He said that would cave in, so he had to go to Chicago. He had one glass pillar made, and he put a platform on top of it, and he had some cement company brought in 2-3 loads of sacks of cement, and they started piling it on top of that platform, and they put on so many tons on it, and then all the architects started hollering, that's enough, give him the money. He was borrowing money from Chicago, from some bank, for mm-hmm. that building.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, let him have all the money he wants to. That glass block has held up tons of that cement bag, you know. They thought it was going to cave in.
But it didn't.
No. But see, that's...
He was a good designer then.
Well, that's... In Wisconsin, at the Johnson Wax Building, that's what these pillars are of. They come up, and then the roof... That's on top of him.
Maybe a little bit of a dreamer.
Well, he was, yes. He, I think he had a lot of students, and he had a lot of foreign students, too, that had ideas, you know, that someday they... Well, he built a tremendous amount of buildings that were of that... tight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you look through his books there, you can see what he did. Anyhow, as far as I'm concerned, he did, at the end, said that, forget about the PZ, let's make it out of cement, make it out of cement. That would have been ideal. But then the group, they started complaining about this and about that, so we could have built that same house, only made it out of cement.
With forms like they do a basement.
Yeah, it would have been a beautiful structure, and then you could have finished it inside, you could have made it out of wood, you know, finished out of wood, but somehow they didn't want to buy his plans again or something. I don't know what happened. Anyhow, they went into their own individual. Then this two young guys I was telling you about from Chicago that built this solar house, sun house is what they call it. They were working in this house, the carpenters. They had these glass walls in the front, you know. They were working with coats on and everything, and they had to shed a lot of their clothes because the sun at that time, you know, was from the east. The way they had it laid out to face the sun in the spring warmed that house up. That they'd have to put a furnace in. They worked in the inside, you know, put
like an early energy efficient house.
Yeah, the cabinets and all that had to be done. They didn't need no heat. So then somebody got a hold of them, and that's what these three houses are supposed to be. But
Tancredi has one of those houses.
Yeah, Tancredi had one, and George Valentine had one, and Brown had one. But the thing was that the plans, these guys changed their ideas of how to. The building is okay, you know, the length of it and the width of it, but the roofing and the had to be some small changes, and it didn't jive the way they had it planned.
Mm-hmm.
So the Brown house, we built his roof different than George Valentine built his. And Tancredi, there's a ceiling. It goes right up to the ceiling. See, there's no ceiling. The ceiling is the cantilevered
roof
inside of the house.
It's almost like one of those houses out west.
Yeah, it goes right up to the thing. And that's the way. Mr. Brown, him and I worked on his, and then he put in hot air traveling through the floors. We had a firm in Pittsburgh that built this type of, or they built the pipes for that. The big, great big pipes, they've got a whole two big truck full of stuff. And then you lay these big pipes, you start from the furnace, and they're larger. And then as they go around the house, they get smaller, you know. Then they come through the floor, they come up into the floor, the tile of the floor meets, one butts up against the other, the hot air travels through them, goes back into the furnace.
Oh, no kidding.
And that's radiant heat.
I was just going to say, it's almost like radiant heat, isn't it?
That heats everything in the house. The furniture and everything stays the same heat all the time. Well, Brown, we put that in. I'm telling you, that was an easy job.
Does he still have that kind of heat?
Yeah, it's still, well, he don't own it now.
Somebody else does.
This guy's name, Valentine. I forget the got their names, so they live in. Anyhow, and George Valentine, the long haul, the other, he's got radiant heat. He's got the pipe, he's got the base ray, base heat.
Baseboard.
Baseboard.
Yeah, heat. Like hot water.
Yeah, hot water baseboard. And Tancredi has, he had the radiant heat in the floor. He had the pipes, copper tubing running all through his floors, and then it goes off the furnace into the pipes, and then it returns, circulates the whole house. But he had trouble because by the time it got from one end to the other, it was getting cold. So he had some change done there. I don't know what he did. Fred Hillard done some work for him.
They sound like they're fairly comfortable houses, most of them. You guys have been living there for a long time. The house that you live in.
Well, I built mine altogether different. I just got hot air, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got pipes. I got pipes circling all the rooms, you know. And then I got leads coming from them pipes back through each room and then back into the furnace. The hot air comes out of the vents, goes up the ceiling, picks the vents, pick it up off the ceiling, send it back through the furnace, and then back, and then the furnace heats it back up again and sends it through the pipes through the floors. And I got vents in each room. You open the vent and you get hot air, but it's not the best heat. But at that time, when you're working on a budget, you know, you don't...
You can't do everything you want.
Yes. I was glad to get a guy to do that for me because I just couldn't afford base ray heat. It was quite expensive at that time, even then. Now, John Brzezinski's house, he put radiant heat in those floors, but what happened was the war, they used all the pipes for the war.
You know? Okay.
So he had to buy pieces, short 10-foot, 5-foot, and then he had a welder weld all this together to make one big pipe. It cost him twice as much as it would if he had the long pipes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Put one big 10-foot pipe across and then tie it into the thing and then tie the rest of them in.
More places to break, too.
And the welds, although the guy was a good welder. And he had short pieces, he had long pieces, and he welded them to make one big long one, and that took a lot of extra time and energy for that. But that's the water over the dam, I guess. He needed a... See, they told us at Parkside we got to get out. When the war ended, we were making more money than what... when we lived at Parkside, they were paying $17 a month. And when I got it... when we were working on war work, our wages were doubled, you know.
Yeah, you were making good money.
We were making fair money. And they knew that, you know, so they wanted other families, lower income families, to move in. That's how I got in. Was, heck, I was only working 3 days a week at Packard's, you know, and we make 37 cents an hour. And you just, you know, you had to have a low place to live. But so I got married and had one kid, so that was nice. I met a lot of different people, but
and you met a lot of people that brought this idea out
here.
You would have never met them if you didn't live there.
And then they got interested in coming out here by talking. You know, we'd meet out in the lawn and talk and discuss. Coming out, and we'd tell the guy, "Well, why don't you come down to meeting, and we're going to try and build our own homes." And they had to do something because they knew they were going to get thrown out of Parkside because it was a government project, and if they made too much money, they had to go. And I was told to get out a certain date, and I lived in the garage part of my house. I put everything I could in there. I had a hot water heater. I had a small burner stove, fuel oil. I had a shower, or take a shower, you know. We had a couple of kids. I built an addition on, put bunk beds in there for the boys. And we had a bed in the corner, cramped there. We even had a television. I think we had an old Munch. But,
you ever sorry you moved out here? You like it, don't you?
Oh, yes. Man, I like it.
Everybody that lives there seems to still like it.
Heck yeah, you can't.
It's like living in the country. When you ride through there, it's like being, you're not in a city. It's like you're someplace completely different.
It's I don't find nothing wrong with it. It's just that we're being squeezed out, you know, of all these, like they built a bunch of factories just north of us.
You had original 120 acres, but then you what? You sold some of it for something.
We sold 80 acres of it to Oakland Community College.
For a what? Police academy or something, right?
They were supposed to build a police academy and shooting range and all that stuff, and that didn't go through. They decided to sell it to these factories over there. Well, they're really not factories. They're more tech stuff, you know.
Okay.
Engineering.
Yeah.
They get Detroit.
Aero Detroit. Is UPS on part of your?
They're up
farther away.
Yeah. And
how about the water park? Was that part of your? Part of your area? No, that was on a side.
That was 12 Green. That was a terrible looking thing down there. It was 40 feet deep. Man, they fill that all in.
Now this was interesting because even when you sold the land, even that was a cooperative thing because you guys did what? You took the money and you put it into your houses collectively.
Yes. Well, yeah. We furnished. Yes. It helped because I didn't have, a lot of stuff I needed for my house. You know, inside carpeting and cabinets and stuff like that there, which we struggled. You know, in the beginning, we were without that stuff. Then the money that we derived from that, we moved ahead. And a lot of people did. I had some siding put on my house, stuff like that, But it helped. It helped quite a bit.
What do you think as a whole, when you look back on the whole thing, do you think the cooperative was a success or not?
I don't think it was a success because it didn't, it just couldn't get, people weren't interested in that.
Cooperative idea.
Yeah. People just don't want to work, it required a lot of work. And when we first started, like I doing the block work for Hiller, but we had a lot of other people that never came out, never done nothing, and yet they were part of us.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't get them. Then you got newcomers that came in after that, that started to build their houses, that bought the land, bought a share into the place, and we sold them, and then they start building their own places, and they didn't have the knowledge. But that was all. We were already pulling away from the co-op idea because nobody was interested, you know. If we'd have got this, if we could have got more carpenters or more brickmen or more plumbers or something like that, or electricians in the group, that would have been ideal, because then we could have, you know, worked one do this job and the other guy do that job, help out. Now in East Detroit, when the Vietnam War was over, they started off with a bang. They started the same kind of thing as we did. The only thing is, they had the modern equipment, lumber, good lumber, brick. They had several guys that were really enthused about them. So they built, they framed in about 6-7 houses. There was the carpenter. Then the brick guys came and bricked it. But the first guy that they started a debate, they started fighting. The one guy says he was the original thing, he wanted the first house. He wanted to move into the first house. So what happened was, they got fighting, and what, he moved into the first house, the other houses were left, nobody wanted to do the work. So they had to sell, you know, the private contractors to finish those houses. But that's what happens when few people are doing the work, and others are just in to see their house built. We had the same problem with the Pizet house. We started to build the Pizet house. They had a meeting, and we said, "Well, Mr. So and So," they had an old couple. They were real old people. Well, I'm saying they were in their 60s and 70s. These people that like the Smiths and them, they were for older people, you know. And so we said, all right, the first PJ house is going to go to them. Oh, that sounded good at first. But then when all the work that was put in, you know, into it and what there was, these guys started thinking, and they said, well, wait a minute.
Why should they get this place?
Why should they get it? I'm doing all the work, and I'm the last guy on the totem pole. That ain't no damn good. That's what happened. I, like Brown and I, I'd done most of the block work and put, and just imagine, 2:00 at night, we had the car lights shining through the opening, and we were laying those floors, you know, for hot air to travel through them, and Bill his fireplace, and I received nothing. I didn't get a damn cent for anything. In fact, one of the guys, Zawaski, that guy, the teacher I told you, I borrowed a trowel off him, about a $6 trowel. He said, I'm collecting my tools after I laid out his whole footing and built his walls for him up three blocks high for set his house on. He said, well, I'm checking on my tools. I'm taking an inventory on my tools. You got my trowel? I said, yeah, I got your trowel. Here, you can have it. A lousy $6. And I says, well, I could have said, well, geez, I've done $300 worth of work for you. What are you going to do about that? But see, I'm not that kind of a guy.
See, the individual was the killer.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the kind, I don't know. There's too many different people that have. You don't get everybody the same as you would want, you know. But as far as like Fred Hiller, he was a good guy. Him and I worked. I built his garage for him. He done some plumbing for me, which was very good. I didn't have to go out and hire a plumber. He was a registered plumber, I guess.
What do you think? Do you think it's going to stay in one piece, or do you think it's going to get redeveloped, the co-op?
That area?
Yeah. You say you're getting squeezed out. I know it upsets you because you don't want to leave.
No, neither does my boys. They want to stay, but eventually they're going to sell out. Yeah, they need the land. In fact, we had that guy that built those apartments.
Condominiums. No, Village Green?
Village Green, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Those are apartments.
Yeah, apartments.
Yeah, he was interested, but he didn't want to. He wasn't interested in the house. He was just interested in the land. You know, they're more interested in buying the land.
Yeah, because he would have to, what? He would have to bring water in there, right?
Well, see, they offer you a price, but then what they do, they don't give you the inner cost. See, they tell you, well, we'll offer you so much for an acre of land. But then later on, you find out that there's cement roads, water lines, sewers, plugs, all that stuff has to be put in, and then you take that away from your land.
And it's not worth the whole acre of
land.
Yeah,
it's not worth it.
So they're giving you the rock bottom for having to develop it.
That's how they make their money.
And and they're going to take your home away for that, so...
And they're going to tear the house down. They said they're going to tear the house.
But it's your place to live.
Yeah.
It's your home.
I'd rather just not do it. But they see, there's another group here. We got people that are, some want to sell and some want to stay.
Okay.
We have meetings, and we had a meeting, and they were first selling here a couple of months ago.
You still have meetings here in the library.
Yeah,
I see them on the calendar. Is that what you talk about? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, we had a buyer. We had a fellow that's a developer, land developer, land buyer or something. I think, I don't know what he was. Anyhow, we had a meeting. Yeah, we had several meetings here.
What do you think the split is? Is it big enough to where it's going to go over?
Well...
Or are there still enough of you guys around to hold on to it?
If the land is valuable, then we can ask whatever, ask what...
What it boils down to is a question of, are you going to get your money for it?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, you can say I sold my acre and I got, say, $150,000. Well... If I went out and bought a house, $100,000.
You get a house with a little backyard.
Yeah, you're not getting very much for $100,000 anymore. And that's what that's the whole deal. And you have to come out even or better, a little better.
It's not going to be living the way you're used to living, with the birds and the animals and the land and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because what the heck? We built these houses. Like, I think I built my house $12,000. That wasn't too bad.
I got a question. I've ridden through there, I don't know how many times now. The roads, they don't go... Like, there was one road that had, like, a rock in it where you couldn't get through. Did the roads kind of like cut off in places or stop, or did you make roads that went all the way through around all the houses?
No, there was a 1 mile of road that was built right around the whole thing. It went where these factories are, north of us.
Yeah.
Part of the road was up in there,
Oh, okay.
And then it came back down towards, I don't know if you know any of them people down there. There's a fellow that lives on the corner down there, Lazier. Did you know Lazier?
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, this fellow, he's in the building business or something. He's improved his price, filling in, he's building a road around
a sort of a U-turn. I forget his name. He's a new guy that bought that place. The way the road is, the way the road comes now, the way if you come in and just go from one end and back out the other end, that's just part of the road. The road went back up Taos, and then it went towards them factories, and then it came back.
Oh,
back
okay.
The other way.
That's there, why
there's 80 acres back there
that got used up.
That the factories bought off of us.
Okay. Houses? Were there houses on that or not?
No.
No. So you never developed the whole 120 acres?
No. No, there was just a field out there. But we did, we built the road for that, for the Frank Lloyd Wright. So each family would have it, you know, could get to the road, but then there was other roads had to be built too, because 120 homes, you know, you have to put in a lot of roads.
Mm-hmm.
But so the people were buying the land on the road, most of them. We all bought where we thought the roads, you know.
Yeah, because they didn't want to travel too far to get to a big piece of land like that.
Yeah, we built the roads, and then we showed these people, here's an acre here, here's an acre here, here's right on the road. And that's, you had to build, if you had to get to your place when you're building, you had to have a road. And that, but then there was a lot of extra acreage back in there, and I didn't know what they were doing there, but that had to have other roads back there.
Well, I think I've taken up enough of your time.
Well,
it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, if there's anything,
it's a fascinating subject.
It's
fascinating to us, not to you, because you live there. Tell me about all the people that used to come and look at the place.
Well, at one time when we were building the Fuse House, John R. 13 Mile Road from our place where we entered clear to John R. with cars were parked all along the road.
Taking pictures and looking
at it. Well, yeah, they were coming, guys were gouging. I said, what the heck you doing there? He had a knife sticking it in the wall. I said, you can't do that. This is fresh stuff, you know. We had just taken the forms off.
You never knew you were going to be famous, did you? And you didn't even want it to begin with. You didn't want the fame.
I did, but it would have made Madison Heights. Of course, that was Royal Oak Township then.
Yeah. Yeah, because this was back in the 40s.
It would have put Madison Heights on the map. I'll tell you that.
Well, it has even today. We still get people calling and asking.
Is that right?
Oh, even today. That's why this is so important, because we have nothing on it. This is you. You are the first interview. You're the first person that has talked to us about this at all. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, if I come up with some more stuff, I've been trying to. If you want to know any more about Frank Wright, get a hold of Mrs. Manning.
Okay. She was the first secretary, treasurer, something
like
that.
She was a treasurer. She handled all her money. Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm going to call her next.
Yeah. Call her and see if she'll. And I'll come with her if she wants.
Oh, good. Okay, that's great. Okay, excellent.
Because there's a lot of things that she knows that I probably forgot. My, you know, I'm 82 years old. My mind is not functioning. My mind is on golf all the time.
Well, it's functioning well.